Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 69 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again. This episode of the podcast brought to you by Vortex, the power of optics. So again, thank you to Vortex Canada for continuing to support the podcast. Okay. Today on the show, I'm going to give you the quickest CCFR update that I possibly can. Then I'm going to bring on Tracy Wilson. She's got a list of her own that she has to update everyone on. And then I'll sign off. And the reason why I'm talking so fast, I'm going to try to stammer through this as quickly as possible, is because there's so much to talk about. I mean, even just us just giving you guys our update is still going to be 30, 40 minutes. So I'm trying to make it as quick as I can. Now, the reason why I got to make it as quick as I can, because as you know, if you're paying attention to the CCFR, you know we pump out work every single week. So there is a lot going on. So let's get to it. All right, first thing, I've got a bit of an update on our court case. As you guys are probably well aware, because you've heard it many times, this is the biggest, most impactful court case in Canadian history as it applies to firearm owners. It is huge. So not only are we attacking the OIC and the underlying legislation and the charter issues and all that stuff and everything else that everyone else has got in their court case, but on top of that, we are going all the way to determine whether or not you even have the right to own any property that the government can't take away at its discretion. Okay, so this is a landmark case. This is going to change the lives of everyday Canadians. And this is one of the reasons why I would ask you to support it. So if you possibly can, please consider donating to the CCFR Legal Trust, and we want to fund this case with enough funds that, you know, it's going to be successful. Or at least if it's not successful, we have the answer that we're looking for, and we've identified, a major problem in the governance of our country and something that needs to be changed. So an update to that is that, as you guys know, we filed, and things are proceeding forward actually quite quickly. One of the things that has happened is we have been assigned case management. So case management, if there's a case that's large enough and complex enough and I guess important enough, what the court will do is they'll assign someone to make sure that they manage the case, meaning they'll manage all the dates. They'll make sure the different parties have the required paperwork and materials in and evidence and all that stuff in a timely manner. If it doesn't happen, I think they're the ones that intervene. I'm not an expert in that process, obviously, but this is my understanding of it. And in addition to that, we weren't just assigned anybody. We were assigned the Associate Chief Justice of the province of Alberta to manage our case. So I guess the province sees this as a pretty important case, and it's very exciting. So the next step is providing evidence, and we don't know what the deadline for that's going to be just yet, but that date will be coming, and then you'll know what the next step is when we do. Next thing I want to talk about real quick is I've got one more episode to release of the CCFR's Canada Downrange Season 1 on YouTube. If you guys have been enjoying that, I'm glad. It's, as I said before, I mean, you guys have heard me say this before, right? But, you know, it's pretty good. And certainly it's fantastic for the first time anything like that was done in Canada. And I'm proud of it. I don't want to give people the wrong idea, but I think Season 2 is a real step up from that. And I'm really excited for you guys to see that, which will start uploading every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, starting on June the 23rd. So towards the end of this month, look forward to Season 2 and do not miss it. And when you see it, make sure that you share it with everybody. Get that link, spread it on your social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, post it on other YouTube channels. Just post it everywhere because it is a real great example of Canadian gun culture, the real gun culture of Canada, not the acts of unlicensed criminals that are running around wreaking havoc in downtown centers. It's the real deal. It's who we are. So we really need that to get viewed by people, and especially people who are non-gun owners. So anyway, June 23rd, that's a couple of Tuesdays from now. Look forward to that. Also, next thing, I'm going to be hosting an Ask Me Anything in our closed Facebook group this coming Tuesday at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern. So it's going to be in the format of Facebook Live. I'm going to jump on there and you can throw questions at me whatever you want to know. I don't care what it is. So, you know, if I don't want to answer it, I won't. But but anyway, I intend to fully answer everything that you ask me if it's possible to answer it, or if it's, you know, too ridiculous, obviously I won't. But that's in our closed Facebook group. So we have about 44,000 people in that group now, I think, something like that. So it's going to be a busy one. So this coming Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, you'll see notices floating around there. You'll see probably see a notice on our Twitter feed as well. So anyway, come join me and ask me a question if you've got one on your mind, if you like. Next thing, we have our 1 hour special, at least the first of 2 1-hour specials that we have coming this month in our partnership with WOW TV and the CCFR, obviously. And I have seen a rough cut of the 1 hour special. I think it's pretty good. And I think it definitely tells a story. The format, just so you guys know, it's a post-COVID world. So the format is we have Steve Eklund is the fellow that's hosting it. And then the rest of the narrative and the rest of the story is told by interviews with some familiar faces. I'm in there, unfortunately. And, you know, funny story. At least I'll give you a little bit of entertainment. So this whole thing came up really, really fast. And WOW TV wanted to move on it fast because it's relevant right now. So, they're like, we want to do this right away. And I'm like, okay, well, when do I got to do my interviews? And it was like next week. And I'm like, I'm in the middle of this court case. I'm in the middle of all this marketing work that I have to do. I've got a national education campaign I'm doing. I've got update videos I got to do. I got to create new commercials for the commercial spots that we've already purchased so people know about the court case. Like, I have a pile of work and nothing's easy. It's not like send this guy an email, right? So I'm like, oh God. And I forget what I had going on. It was a week ago last Tuesday. Anyway, I had a whole bunch of stuff going on and I did these self-interviews. I had to set up my cameras, right, and interview myself with our producer, Mike Beely, on the phone, on the speakerphone, right? And I was exhausted and my brain was completely fried because I'm just like an average dude, right? I'm not exceptionally good at stuff and I'm not exceptionally resilient, you know, than more resilient than anybody else. So I was like exhausted and my face looks horrible. Looked like I'd, you know, just stepped out of a bus crash or something. And anyways, I'm not particularly proud of my answers. I was stammering because my brain was so exhausted. But anyway, I'm in there. So you can laugh at me. I don't mind. But hopefully in the second episode, I'll be a little fresher. I'll do it first thing in the morning. One morning, I'll have a little bit more notice this time. So anyway, that's coming up this coming week. So that's the week of the 8th of June. Now, I do have those dates when it airs. They were in an email. I saw them come through. I just haven't opened the email and I don't have it right now, but we'll post that everywhere. We'll post it on Twitter and in the Facebook group and whatnot. So maybe even if I remember, I'll put it in the description box of this video if you're watching this on YouTube. Or listening to it, I guess, right? So our special is coming up. We're also talking about some other mainstream media specials as well. More on that later if something develops. Okay, and another week or two, and I will be able to tell you a little bit more about our national education campaign. I will say this, that we had certain plans. You've heard this before, I'm sure, if you listen to the podcast. There was feet on the street aspects of our education campaign. There was some written materials. We never did the written materials because they were a ton of work and we couldn't really get them into people's hands anyway because we intended actually to give them among, you know, there was a whole list of people that we're going to send them to, but we also, the biggest point of this thing was that we want to give them directly from the hands of our volunteers to the general public. And that's not going to happen. So I haven't produced the written materials. So that's on hold indefinitely until we see what the world's going to look like. And so I repurposed some of the education campaign to spread the word about our court case and the effect that it will have on non-gun owners and why they should care. So I can't let the cat out of the bag just yet because I'm still finishing up the materials for it. Once that's done, I've signed an agreement for all the things that we're going to do. Once that's done and it's already being implemented, then I'll let you know. And then you can just look for that out there. It's going to be pretty exciting, pretty cool. So I'm hoping that that our legal fund gets funded by everyday Canadians, that they consider themselves stakeholders and whether or not the government can just grab their stuff whenever it wants based on whatever, right? Whether it's a climate emergency, whether it's an economic emergency, you know, a pandemic, you know, they can grab whatever they want legally. So we're trying to get other stakeholders in there. And if we can get them in there and get them interested in our case, then they might take a couple of minutes and start learning a little bit more about the you know, private firearm ownership and what the truth is behind that topic. So that's another way to kind of draw them in a little bit. So we're gonna leverage that and see how that works out. Okay, so I think that's the extent of my update. That's the best I can, that's the best I can remember for the last 2 weeks. That's what I've got for you. So you know what? We're gonna go to Skype right now and see what Tracy Wilson has to say. All right, on the Skype, I've got Wilson. Wilson.
Kiltaka.
All right. How's it going? Not bad, I guess. It's always a battle.
Yeah.
But what do we got on the agenda here?
Well, I got a couple of really cool things I want to talk to everybody about today. Number one, if you have not seen it, do yourself a favor and head over to our Facebook page and check out the Jim Shockey support video. So I'm sure Jim is no stranger to anybody listening to this. Jim is a... well, basically a world-renowned hunter, but he's a Canadian hunter. He's made it to the big leagues. He's probably our most visible and notable hunter. And he did a great little video for us where he talks about how the Liberals' new gun ban does, in fact, affect hunters and gun owners aside from sport shooters. I've had a lot of questions about what the two guns are in his video. So for those interested, one is a 460 Weatherby and the other one is a 600 Nitro double-barreled rifle. So this video is already, it's reached over 368,000 Canadians and been shared over 4,000 times. So it's just a short little video. It's only going to take a couple minutes to check it out. But go listen to it. See what Jim's got to say. He's a really interesting cat. We spent some time with him last year at the range, and he's just very philosophical and interesting. He's just a really good guy. So, yeah, I'd like everybody to go check out that Jim Shockey support video. And, of course, you can also find it on our YouTube channel. So that's that. Speaking of cool videos, you did a really neat project this week with Member of Parliament Larry Maguire. So Larry has been pretty steady on our file for quite some time now. He's always looking for ways to help out. I got to spend some time with Larry last year out in Verdun, Manitoba at Wolverine Days. And he's just a real sweet guy. And he's been, you know, there's a difference here between the videos we've been doing with the leadership candidates and the town hall that you did with Larry, because they're all vying for a spot for leadership. So, you know, they're trying to get their platforms out or whatever. They've got their own agenda. But I really want to give Larry a big shout out because he doesn't have that same, you know, that same course of action in mind. So Larry is literally just interested in finding out more about the topic, interested in answering questions he's getting from constituents, and just taking an active role in finding out what's going on. And as a, you know, I wish more MPs would take a vested interest in what's going on. So you can also find that on Larry Maguire's Facebook page, on the CCFR Facebook page, and I also tweeted a link to it on Twitter. So make sure you check that out and head over to Larry's page and give them a follow. He's just a real great, sweet man, and I love the work that he does. So thank you, Larry Maguire.
Yeah, that was an interesting video, and that format actually allows us to get into the meat of these topics. Whereas with the leadership videos, you know, it's really about what's your platform. We know what their platform is in advance. You know, they're all very similar. You know what I mean? There's not a lot not a lot of details. And then, you know, the other thing, and to be totally candid, it's like, well, you say to a candidate who's appearing on a video to curry favor with gun owners, and you say, well, would you fix the, you know, converted full auto and the definition of variant problems in the Firearms Act? And then, you know, and of course they're going to say yes. What are they going to say? No, no. Right. I like that ambiguity. You know, so you know, you don't really get to. And for a lot of people, they watch these videos, and you know, there's also an opportunity to learn something, learn a little bit more about the laws and why they're bad and all that stuff. So it's a really good format. So I really appreciate Larry having me on. I think it was a really valuable thing.
I think so too. So yeah, I was really happy with that. And it was great to see Larry reaching out. Third thing I want to address is our friends. And I use that term loosely. Our friends over at Police du Souvien have sent a new mandate letter over to government officials and of course circulated it with the mainstream media. So as usual, the mainstream media is falling at the feet of Pauly Sussuvier to make sure they get their message out. And what they're complaining about now, you know, it's never going to be enough, first of all. So just to be perfectly clear, it's never going to be enough. But what they're upset about now is they want to talk about large capacity magazines. So they've got an entire list here they call Overview of Flaws and Loopholes. And it goes into the problem with pinned mags. And, you know, even though it is completely illegal here in Canada to remove the pin from your mag, they're complaining about that. That just doesn't go far enough. In fact, now they're asking that all guns be relegated to a maximum round capacity of 5 in their magazines, including handguns. So the problem here is manufacturers don't make magazines for most semi-auto handguns in a 5-round capacity. So that would require what? Well, a pin, but they don't like that either. So I don't know. I'm not sure where they're going with this. We've got to keep an eye on it. You know, it just goes to show that no matter how hard the government comes down on Canada's legal gun owning community, it's never going to be enough for these people. So they've got a document. You can find it on their website at paulysussuvier.ca. You can check it out. They're even going so far as to complain about 22 long rifle rimfires. So, yeah, they're really worried about that. about those little 22s. So
they just and you know what? It's not about safety for them because this is absurd. You know, why not 10 rounds for everything? Why not, you know, if 5 is too dangerous, why not 2? You know, it is never going to end, and they could care less whether or not these magazines exist. If we weren't able to pin magazines, there would be no magazines because no company in the world, other than maybe a new Canadian upstart, is going to make 5-round magazines. And so they don't, it's not about working with anybody. It's not about anything. It's about hurting gun owners. And, you know, again, and again, the mainstream media is more than happy to amplify their message without an opposing viewpoint, because we didn't get a single call for comment on that.
Oh, no, so. Of course not. And I've been skimming through those media articles. And of course, they, you know, they outline all the concerns of Pauly Sussuvier and talk about the gun bans and talk about all that. And nothing from the other side. They didn't reach out to one firearms expert to say, what is the deal here? What is your opinion? So it's very interesting, you know, how it's like full court press for these guys, no matter what ridiculous things they're asking for next. So I am formulating a response that I will also circulate around, which will probably be completely ignored. So the fight rages on. However, things are looking a little sunny out west. Jason Kenney, the premier of Alberta, came out this week with a press conference. So there was some suggestions leading up to it that this would be interesting for gun owners, and we were not disappointed. So there's a couple of things. You know, the provinces are limited in what they can do. Most firearm regulation, of course, is federal. However, Alberta is one of those provinces that did not appoint their own CFO. So, of course, the feds do it for them. So they are switching that around. They are going to be appointing their own CFO. So stay tuned to find out what's going on with that. Another thing they're going to do is they are going to open their own firearm center, which would be responsible for a variety of things, including tracing crime guns. So something that they've noticed is when a crime happens, let's say, you know, something happens out in rural Alberta, and a crime gun is recovered from the scene of a crime, they send it out here to Ottawa, out to the feds, and it goes to the RCMP firearms lab, and it could be years before you get any information back. And it's just, it's impossible. Number one, they need that information to pursue criminal proceedings against criminals who are doing it, you know, and the government of Canada is incompetent in getting this stuff done. So Jason Kenney's going to take it upon himself to have his own firearm center, which will help process things along, which I think is a great idea. Third thing he's doing is he has appointed a firearm advisory committee. So it's really interesting because I know with the Federal Firearms Advisory Committee. Of course, it, you know, was a great place to host anti-gun lobbyists and people who basically had nothing to do with the topic whatsoever. It was a real kind of a disgrace, right? We did have Linda Caco on there. He was an Olympic shooter. But other than that, it was a pretty rigged committee. Well, a lot of people could say this goes the other way. However, I think the idea here is the government of Canada is responsible for creating firearms legislation and regulation. And then, of course, a lot of that falls down to the province to administer it. So they actually, at that level, they really do need a firearms advisory committee that is made up of people who have some topic knowledge on firearms. So it's a really diverse committee, mostly people from the community, as well as some law enforcement and former military. So yeah, it's pretty neat. That's been announced. You can find that on Jason Kenney's website, as well as on our social media. And the fourth and final thing he talked about in his press conference, and this literally made my eyes twinkle like a little girl, is he said that the government of Alberta is considering intervening in some of the court action that's filed against the federal government concerning the OIC gun ban. So, you know, of course, I'm raising my hand, pick me, but we'll see what goes on with that. But yeah, it is interesting to see the level of opposition coming out of the provincial leaders against this federal firearms ban. So yeah, we'll be keeping everybody up to date. Of course, this information as it evolves will be available in our e-newsletter. So make sure you sign up for that, which you can do very easily by going to the CCFR homepage, and you'll actually get a little pop-up that comes up. We just need your name and email address so we can stay in touch, and we will send this information directly to your inbox every Friday. So yeah, so that's kind of my weekly roundup. That's what's going on around here.
Well, I don't blame Alberta or Jason Kenney for being fed up with federal government and RCMP leadership buffoonery, which goes 24/7 all day every day. You know, you've got somebody that commits a firearm related crime in your city, and you got to wait 6-8 months to find out if the gun that you have matches the bullet that they found, you know, in somebody or in the wall. It's absurd. And, you know, it says a couple of things. I don't want to get too far into it because it might not be interesting, but, you know, it just shows how inept the federal government is, you know, the RCMP. And I hate to say that because there's a lot of really great people that I've worked with over the last decade and a half that do a great job every single day, that really understand the role of community policing, the role of a police officer in a community, which is a very privileged position and it's a very respected position. But then these guys have to work under, you know, toxic leadership, and it's terrible. I really feel for them. And it's an important job that you can't defund the police, despite what some people might tell you, you need them. But it's also a very sensitive thing. So, you know, I don't blame Jason Kenney at all for saying, you know, if we're trying to get criminals off the street, we need to have that evidence in order to prosecute them. So anyway, good on them for taking some action. And this government needs to be opposed at every turn. They are the most tyrannical government I've ever seen in my life of 50 years in this country.
Yeah, well, and I agree with you. I don't blame Jason Kenney. I mean, he's, you know, a government's main responsibility, of course, is to ensure the safety of their citizens. And as Premier of Alberta, it is very difficult. And law enforcement feels the same struggle. They're catching out bad guys. They're out there. They're trying to solve crimes. They're trying to do the best they can. And of course, you know, it turns over to our justice system, which is stuck waiting for delayed information. And sometimes some of this tracing and data that they require from crime guns is vital to a case. It can make or break it. So at the same time that the anti-gun lobby is criticizing Premier Kenney for, you know, they think he's catering to gun owners, he's directly instituting something that will have a positive impact on making sure that the violent criminals using guns in the province of Alberta will be held to account. So I applaud him. I think it's a great move. I don't think people understand how vital that could be to turning things around. So, yeah, it is what it is. So,
well, yeah, I mean, imagine you're the family of a victim of gun-related violence, and you've got an RCP officer saying, I've run everything up as far as I can. We just can't get the evidence. Or imagine yourself secondarily being that RCMP officer, you know, who's got everything, his whole career invested in the relationships that he has with those people in those communities. Maybe, you know, sometimes they even know the people that are these victims and they're like, I'm sorry. I've done everything I can. We just got to wait to hear back from Ottawa. Like, how ridiculous. But anyway, awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks for your report. Really appreciate it. And we will talk to you soon.
Okay, take care. Stay safe.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 69. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And make sure you share this podcast and make sure you take action on the stuff that you hear here. If you just enjoy the podcast, I don't know why you'd enjoy listening to me. I'm not a professional, obviously. But if you enjoy kind of hearing what's going on but haven't chipped in, chip in if you can. These are tough times. If you can't chip in financially to to our legal trust or becoming a member of the CCFR, then just spread the links and talk to people. And you know, just get them involved. Let them know what we're up to. Talk about our case, right? It's about property rights. Let them know what the government's able to do, and that you know, it's property owners. In this case, it's gun owners, but you know, that's just who happens to be fighting this fight on behalf of all Canadians. So it's kind of an interesting icebreaker, I guess, to this kind of conversation. So please do what you can to spread our links. We are our own algorithm that way. Thanks to Tracy for all her hard work and for coming on. And again, thanks to Vortex, the power of optics, again, for sponsoring the CCFR radio podcast. We greatly appreciate it. So sign those petitions out there. Make sure you become a member if you can. Donate to the Legal Trust Fund if you can. Other than that, take care, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.